From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, December 6th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kunath Cheesh, Hawa Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Juno's Got Talent is an annual showcase of individuals, artists, and more. And auditions for it are right around the corner. We've got all the details and tips on prepping to show your stuff. And showing their stuff this Friday out at UAS are Ernestine Hayes, Lily Hope, Emily Wall, and more as part of the UAS Creative Showcase, which wraps up this fall's Evening at Egan series. We'll have a preview. And KTOO turns 50 this coming January, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll share how. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kak. Gunish cheesh.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This February, the annual Juno's Got Talent will take place, and now is the time to prep your act. Auditions are Saturday, December 16th, and Sunday, December 17th at a Juno Dance Theater. There is cash and bragging rights on the line. And here to tell us more about the auditions and get you ready are Bridget Lujan, Executive Director of Juno Dance Theater and Director for the event, Floridolino Lagandino. Gunath Cheesh, Hatye Adi. Thank you all for being here. Wasa Iati, what's going on?
Hey, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Of course. It's so great. I mean, the new year is just around the corner, and this event happens on February 3rd. But first, we got to have people who can take part in the event, so we have to have the auditions. But let's start with you, Bridget. Tell us a little bit about what is Juno's Got Talent.
It started out as a fundraising event. It still is that for Juno Dance Theater, but it's become one of our flagship events. The community looks forward to coming out. We do it at the Jack once a year, and it's a nice reach into the community beyond just our own dance folks at Juno Dance Theater, because for Juno's Got Talent, it's not a dance competition. It's a whatever. So whether you're an acrobat, contortionist, vocalist, you know, you name it, juggling and singers.
Violin player, cellist.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever.
Ventriloquist.
So ventriloquist would be great.
We want to find that. The best and the most unique acts to come out and perform for the Juno community.
I see. So, and I think the misnomer is that because it's put on by Juno Dance Theater, people think they have to maybe do some kind of movement, but really any talent will do whatever your talent happens to be. So, Floridolino, you've directed this event. I think you directed it last year. What is the wide range? What are we looking for? Are we looking for what is a talent that you would want to see come out?
I mean, really anything, to be honest with you. We had this guy last year who was like a rocker, like a hard metal singer, which we fit in. It was fantastic to hear him sing. And we had people that did clown work during the show. We had didn't actually perform as a contestant, but we had tappers in it as well. And then also there was also individuals from Juno Dance Theater who also performed as well. So it just runs the gamut. Whatever you can do, whatever you can do well, we want to see it at Juno's Got Talent.
And is there any particular age range, Bridget, for this? I mean, can anybody participate?
Anyone can participate. We have had young dancers compete and actually place, I think, in the top three a couple times. We had young dancers. Our 2019 champions were both eight-year-olds. It was a dance duo. But we do caution. I mean, it's an adult event. There's alcohol being served on the premises. So we have that warning kind of just, you know, parents, use your judgment if this is something you want to have your child involved in. But it is, I mean, we're a family-oriented organization. So we'd be hard-pressed to exclude young people from competing, but we do create an atmosphere that's more of an adult kind of party scene.
Gotcha. So maybe like teenage and up, perhaps, maybe, unless there's something, unless you've got like a 7-year old who's like got some.
There was a kid last year that he must have been like what, eight, nine, 10 years old, that he sang and danced in the show. So that, you know, that was a. He was the youngest one last year.
Right. And Kinley Johns was our third place winner. She did a tap solo. Uh-huh. And she's also, you know, a young person. But she's more of, you know, a seasoned performer. So she's been on stages in all kinds of different venues. Yeah. So it just, you know, I just caution parents, review, you know, what the event is about. Take a look and discuss it with your family and your kids. But yeah, we welcome all ages.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
No, what's fun about this is that, you know, for me as a person that, you know, as an artist in town, I get to know people that I would never get to know, you know, and like Isaiah Unzicker, I mean, other people know him, but I never knew him. He's a winner last year in No Tech Post. He was the violist last year that got second place, and he's won before, but I didn't know these people, you know, if I didn't meet them here. And what's really great also is just seeing people grow through the process and seeing things that I would just never would have thought would happen here in Juneau.
That's so great. Okay, so let's get the details of like when and where and time and all that. Like when, these are happening soon, right?
Right. We've got live auditions coming up Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th. The location of the auditions is at Juno Dance Theater, which is 8420 Airport Boulevard. We're on the second floor. So think about, you know, if you have a bunch of equipment to haul, maybe you want to submit a video, which we also accept. So we asked you to register in advance of the audition so we know about your act and your experience. And we ask, you know, there's a questionnaire there. But junodance.org is where would-be contestants can go to find information on auditioning. But the auditions are at Juno Dance Theater and or submit by video also by the 17th of December. And then Floridolino will go through and call out his finalists and we'll post that by the end of the year. I think usually last year we tried to get it up by on New Year's Eve, I think was our big announcement. And then those are our quote finalists who will perform in the live event on February 3rd, which is at the Jack.
And that's the fundraiser part of it. And that you can get tickets at for a Juno
right.
Dance.
Yeah. We'll be back to talk about that one.
Yeah. So when we know what some of the acts might be.
Yeah.
And how long can the audition be?
I think they run about 15 minutes or so.
At the most.
Yeah.
Okay. But the videos are shorter, right? The videos you submit. Did I see something about 3 minutes somewhere?
The act itself, we'd like to keep under 3 minutes because we, you know, we're running on a time limit at the Jack. We don't want to keep people up past their bedtimes too much.
Right, but the interview and the audition process will be like a 15-minute slot.
Yeah, the act itself, about 3 minutes. And then Floridolino usually has some questions and wants to dig into the artistic background.
Why are you doing this?
What's your motivation?
What's going on?
What are you doing? And Floridolino, do you have any tips for folks who might be thinking about, like, it doesn't really matter what their talent might be, but is there some tips for these auditions that you want to send out there?
Yeah, just bring what you think you want to perform, and then, you know, that there's a possibility it may change, and also that bring bring something that shows your best side, and then we will continue working on it as we go before the performance.
Oh, I see. So it won't necessarily be they perform and then they get in it and then they show up. You're going to work with them.
We'll work with them.
Craft
still.
The show for the whole over a rehearsal period or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
I see. So even if you're a little raw,
absolutely,
come on out because
come on out.
You know, people want to see your talent and they want to see what you can do.
Like we rehearse like sometimes, I think some of them we rehearse like three times, but most of them just like one or two times together.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's just really fun to like shape it. Like sometimes people have something that's like 5 minutes long, so we have to cut it down. And then we have to figure out what's the beginning, the middle, or the end of this piece and all those sorts of things.
Can people get inspiration from America's Got Talent for the kinds of things they might do, like magicians
Absolutely.
Or anything like that?
Yeah, I would maybe stay away from flame.
Right. You know. Yeah. But comedians would be great. I would love to have a comedian.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think we're equipped to have tightrope walkers and stunts. Although gotcha. I'd love to try Flirtolino, you know, I'm ready if you are.
You know, people want to like, you know, stand on blocks, that kind of thing. They can build a whole tower of blocks. Maybe. I don't know if your insurance can handle it, but yeah.
If people have questions before then, Bridget, can they call or can they email?
Yeah, email's best. JDTOffice@junodance.org is a great way to reach us. And, you know, all kinds of questions come up. But I would say start with the registration itself, because there's a lot of information that's revealed as you walk through the questions. You get an idea of what it is we're looking for. And, you know, we've had professionals, you know, seasoned professionals come in with a very polished act. Maybe they don't need much rehearsing at all, or maybe they can't even make an in-person rehearsal because they're booked. So we do work with you, but it's just the past winners have shown that you can be the most novice of any performer or a seasoned professional. You have to please the audience and the judges watching. So anyone can win.
Any given Sunday, as they say.
Any given Sunday or Saturday night.
Or
whichever
Saturday night,
exactly.
Whichever one it is. Well, Bridget Luan, Executive Director for Juno Dance Theater, Flirtolino Lagandino, Director of Juno's Got Talent. Auditions, again, are next Saturday and Sunday, December 16th and 17th at Juno Dance Theater. The address one more time for that?
8420 Airport Boulevard, Suite 202.
Excellent. And of course, you need to register in advance, even for the audition, right?
Yeah, for the audition. We have taken walk-ins. If you walk in, we'll make time for you, but you might have to wait a little bit if we've got a lineup ahead of you.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, we've only got a couple hours. So 6 to 8 on Saturday the 16th and 1 to 3 on Sunday the 17th are the time slots we've got reserved for the auditions.
Absolutely. And that you can go to junodance.org. Gwyneth Cheese, for you both being here and telling us all about Juno Scott. Talent.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We thought it would be fun a time to revisit this interview Rhonda McBride did with musician Ed Littlefield and former marketing manager for KTOO, Gina Varney, about the sound IDs you hear here on KTOO. These sounds have been playing for a while, but we are often asked who made them. Here's Rhonda with Ed and Gina.
Isn't that cool? That's what we call in our business an audio ID. And we are joined by Ed Littlefield, a jazz artist and composer who composed and produced these music beds for KTOO. And we also have with us Gina Varney, KTOO's marketing director, who worked with Ed to develop what we call in our business, again, audio ID. So I'm going to start off with you, Ed, and maybe you can tell us how you came about just fusing Tlingit culture and jazz. I don't think there are very many people in the world that actually do that. Welcome.
Kanachish, yeah. It's actually interesting because we talk about fusing in an interesting way. I am just releasing the music that's within me. So it's kind of more than just fusing. It's the music that is inside of us. And so I really like combining the two worlds that I grew up with, the Tlingit culture and Western music. And so Gina came up and sent me an email and said, hey, we want you to do this project. It's due in about a month. About 6 months later, we got it done. So it was one of those things where, you know, being during a pandemic, it's difficult to turn in stuff and work with other people and check in and stuff. So it was really fascinating. I started with the phrase Tlingit Ani, and the call sign K2OO. And I went there, and I can explain that later or right now. But well, that's where I was.
Yeah. Gina Varney is also with us, and maybe we should start by explaining the concept of an audio ID, because we always hear you're listening to KTOO, but why is an audio ID a little bit different?
Yeah, so as you stated when you introduced me, I'm the marketing manager here as well as the membership manager. And so I'm in charge of, being the brand ambassador for KTOO, and normally when that's an internal thing, branding. But normally what that means is like a company logo, what you see, the visual elements of a company. And so KTO is going through a rebranding. And since we're radio, we figured a signature sound or an audio logo, audio ID, however you want to say it, but that signature sound for radio, because, hey, what do? We're radio. But not only for radio, too, we're also using this on KTOO 360 TV as well. So it's got multiple uses that we found. And we were just so excited to partner with Ed on this, because we really wanted somebody who knew our work and knew what this community means to us, and how we could just bring all of that into those 6-7 notes that you hear at the top of the hours now.
Well, was it your intent, though, to incorporate Clinkit undertones into these audio IDs?
So it was really important for KTOO, the whole team, the organization, for us to really respect where obviously our building sits on fill that was once Tidelands. And so it's part of our efforts to really uplift all of the voices in our community. And of course, with the language revitalization of Clinkit, it was really a big part of this project and why we chose to work with Ed, because of his background. And just, we knew that he would get it. He would just get it and would produce some amazing tones for us.
Well, you would not hear this next ID probably anywhere in the lower 48. I can't imagine. So let's listen. This is just a short one, 6 seconds. Wow. Ed, tell me about the concept for that. I just love the way the drum reverberates in that.
Yeah, that was actually the last little part that we worked on for that. We write a bunch of things and it gets thrown away, and then we write some more stuff and that gets thrown away or changed or modified. So that's how that works. But just to give you a little backstory, in addition to, if I went da dee da, everyone would go NBC. If I went da dum, everyone would say Netflix, or most people that watch Netflix would say Netflix. So that's kind of the vibe we're going. So as you're walking around around town, go do da dee do dee. Go ahead and sing it. I dare you.
Da da dee da do. I could not be in choir because I sing halftone harmonies.
Sorry, you can just sing the rhythm.
Da da dee da do. Gina, you got to do it if I got to do it.
Do 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 do.
You did that pretty well.
The K2OO is, I did something pretty interesting. It's essentially putting the English alphabet over the musical alphabet to get those notes, D F A A D. And so that's K-T-O-O spelled out in the musical alphabet. I don't want to get too into it, but like, you put the musical alphabet A B C D E F G A B C D E F G A B C D, and then line it up with A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T V, and then you spell out words. So K T O O spells out D F A A, which is D F A D D A D A D is what I meant to say. D A D A D. Anyway, that's where I got the melody. Combining the Thlinkit Ani, I just thought it was. We're in Southeast Alaska. It's like the, it should be tied to where we're at. So a lot of radio stations might have a little disconnect with their populations because of that. And I don't think K2OO does now, because it's an inspired by Thlinkit sonic ID that's going to be all over the place.
Well, that's really interesting how you created this sort of keyboard, and you overlaid the scale over it and just kept repeating the scale to find K and O and O, or KT and then O and O. So let's play one more. Now, this is a longer music bed, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about what was involved with this after we hear it. So that obviously is maybe designed to be able to read something over that. But you've got these kinds of music beds in different moods. What were you going for?
Well, we've got, you know, you've got a handful of radio stations, right, inside of K2O. And so we were looking for three different versions, one sort of a news, and Gina, jump in here, a news one that could go under... So, you know, the morning news or stuff like that, of a rock station and a swing version. So,
wow. So, Gina, did you think that you would get this kind of variety of sounds and moods from starting with a sort of Tlingit overtones in this?
Well, you know, we went into the project with hey, we want to do this. And here's some ideas and samples from other stations. Here's things we don't like, here's things we do like. And we kind of really, it was just like a free form between both parties. You know, it was like, you know, Ed, we trust your expertise, put your flair in there. And we also just needed keep in mind with our audiences on each station that it matched that tone on each station. And so that's how the three different versions were born.
So let's play this one because I think this is interesting that, Ed may be proving that Tlingit overtones and Tlingit flavors can go with just about any kind of music. This one is the rock and roll master. Here we go. Gosh, I wish this were longer. It would be fun to just kind of rock out to this.
Yeah, that's another little part. It has to be a minute long, right?
Right.
For the intro before, you know, the news starts at whatever, 3:01 or 4:02, whatever, or 4:01. So, yeah, you kind of got to fit it in there. But that was really fun. You can't see us probably jamming out, rocking out, but that was fun. I played everything on that as well in my little studio, except for the guitar. So I had my friend play the guitar part over it and mix and master it as well. But yeah, that was kind of fun just to kind of experiment and keep that melody, right? Keep that motif going throughout without it just being blatant, you know, ba-da-dee-da-da, over and over and over again. So,
well, you play so many instruments. I always thought that percussion was your main instrument, but... You seem to have mastered others.
I can play other instruments. I don't know about mastering, but I can play the trumpet at a decent level. I did a recording on violin for the Tlingit Christmas Carol in September, October, which was fun. Percussion is mainly it, but you know, I can play a little keyboard, which means I can do some MIDI tracks on my computer and things like that.
We've got another one to play, and maybe you can set this one up. This one has organ overtones in this. So what is this piece of music all about?
So the swing versions, I wanted to give Gina one version that was not a soloing on the main themes instrument. So on the main theme is the vibraphone, and little good guitar underneath it. But I wanted to do another organ solo. So I whipped out the piano, whipped out the organ, and started playing just a solo over the top. And I also did some trumpet backgrounds over the top of that as well.
My goodness, percussion and trumpet. So here we go. This is the organ version. I love how that ends. Feels kind of big band like. How
sharp nine chord.
For those people who don't know what a vibraphone is or you haven't seen one, can you tell us what it is and it's, what it adds?
Yeah, it's actually the sound that you hear for NBC. So Lionel Hampton, who is a famous jazz musician, went into the studio to record with Louis Armstrong. He said, hey, you should play that instrument over there. Or he was in the NBC studios. He's doing a recording on drums. And they said, hey, we want a vibe solo. And a vibraphone was sitting in the back room and he just pulled it out and then became one of the most inspiring jazz vibraphone players of all time and jazz musicians. But anyway, It's a metal instrument, so metal bars. It's got tubes like a xylophone and marimba. And the cool part is it has a fans that go in and out, and so it gets this wah 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 sound. And so when you hear the NBC theme, you all are going to go listen out, go to YouTube and listen to the NBC theme now, because it goes thum bum bah wah 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 wah. You hear that wah wah sound, and so that's the vibraphone. In a nutshell.
All right, let's hear it. Here we go. Can't you just in your mind's eye see this kind of conductor lifting up his arms and telling people to stop at that moment? Wow. So, yeah. Gina, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which one of these was your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go with the rock version.
Okay. So let's hear number five again. This is the rock version.
Everybody dance on that second part.
Yeah, we want your arms up in the air and your hips swaying. You know, my favorite, though, was the very last one that we played before this, the vibes. So did you prove something through this project, Ed, that you could put Clinkit flavors and overtones and every kind of music just about. You don't have classical here, though.
I don't have classical, but the closest one is that the first one that goes under the news theme, just the regular full master. But I think my friend Jason Marsalis said folk musics are meant to be put together, and you can't get more folk or people than a radio station in a community. Like, that is ultimately what it's all about. And so the music should be from the community, or at least the area of the broadcast area. And so I don't think I proved anything. I just show that it is possible that we can all share the music that is within us in a respectful way.
Thanks again to Rhonda McBride for that interview with Ed Littlefield and Gina Farney. We appreciate Ed and Gina for their hard work bringing those sounds to KTOO. And KTOO, by the way, turns 50 this January, and we're marking this milestone by celebrating you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juneau for 5 decades. As part of our celebration, we'd love to hear how KTOO impacts you. We're looking for audio submissions that are up to 3 minutes in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, and or personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, you record your message on your smartphone, pretty easy, and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at ktoo.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Gwyneth Cheesh, thank you. And we look forward to those submissions as KTO turns 50 in January. And we'll have a special Juno Afternoon announcement about that very soon as well. Okay, up next, the UAS Creative Showcase is happening this Friday. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. We'll be right back. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday is the final evening at Egan at UAS, and the Arts and Sciences faculty are coming together to present a wonderful fusion of creativity and scholarly excellence. It's all to encourage conversation as well as continuing celebration of the rich and diverse artists in our community. Joining me now, live in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, is an amazing powerhouse of artists and creators, and I'm not even sure if I know how to introduce you all. I'm going to give these basic ones, but then I thought it might be fun. I was going to have you each introduce yourselves, but instead, maybe you would introduce each other. That could be kind of interesting. But joining me right now are Karen Salkaitis, Dean of the School of Arts and Sciences, Ernestine Hayes, Professor Emeritus of English, Lily Hope, Thlinkit Artist, Textiles and Weaving, and Assistant Professor, I believe is the title, and Emily Wall, Professor of English, who might have had a book that published yesterday. So we'll get into that. Gwyneth Cheesh Hadiadi, thank you all for being here. Wasa Iati.
Yak, hey, Khwasatini.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's good.
It's good. It's good to have you all here. So most of the community may know you, but there might be people who don't know you. So I'm curious if we could at least introduce ourselves or have somebody introduce you and say a little bit about that person. Does that sound fun?
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to introduce Lily Hope.
Okay.
And Lily came to us full time this year. And
excellent.
Lily's been teaching for UAS for a long time, but came full time this year. And I've gotten to know Lily a lot more closely this year. And Lily is a masterful artist. And what I learned about Lily most recently is that Lily's also been a theater artist since she was a small child, and that her parents were also theater artists, and that she has acted in some very exciting and colorful titled productions, which she can tell you about in a moment. And I've also learned recently, what Lily just looked at me with the most nervous look on her face.
She's that like, was amazing. What are you going to say?
No, I've also learned recently that Lily has a massive following of students at UAS, and they come into my office and they tell me all about their extraordinary passion for Lily's classes and what an incredible teacher Lily is. So I've learned about Lily in the last year, I think, on a number of new levels, which I'm super excited about. Also, Lily came up with the title for our showcase, which I am going to let Lily say because I like the way Lily says it. Give it to us, Lily.
Join us at 7 p.m. at the UAS Egan Library for the Winter Fire Faculty Showcase.
Nice. I like that. Okay. And Lily, would you like to say something about Karen, your boss?
Oh, goodness. Make it good. Make it good. Make it good. Hey, so Dean Karen and I connected during the 50th year of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. And in the meeting of minds and timing and all of this, it was an emergency, like, oh, you want to be full time at the university? Why don't you start tomorrow or next week? That's good, too. Or the middle of August. But it was very kismet. Dean Karen has been the best dean so far. And I didn't get to work with many of the other deans, but the way that Dean Karen is learning the Tlingit language and hearing the language of my ancestors here on the land has been really big. I may or may not have cried during your very brief speech at the JAC 50-year anniversary. Dean Karen also has an extensive background in theater. You can go search Chicago, Illinois, and like all the photos and great things that Dean Karen did in the last lots of decades, more decades than I've been alive. And such an advocate for the arts and culture here in Juno and at UAS. And it's been really great to connect with them.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Karen's been here many times. And I also was very excited when I found out that we were going to have a dean of arts and sciences that had a theater background. I think that's really great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ernestine, would you like to tell us a little bit about Emily?
I would like to introduce you to my very first creative writing teacher. I signed up for Emily's class in creative writing years and years ago when I finally finished my prerequisites, and she guided me just as she has guided so many students at UAS. She has a very strong following and has written many, many books of poetry, and I've attended her readings, and she's a fabulous reader. Very, very inspiring, not only to students, but to other poets, to me for sure, to her previous students, and she also contributes to a high degree to the university service and community service. And she has a wonderful, beautiful family. There's nothing that I can say that isn't beautiful about this poet.
That's awesome. That's a great introduction.
Now I'm crying.
And Emily, will you please tell us a little bit about Ernestine Hayes?
I am delighted to be sitting next to my friend and mentor, Ernestine Hayes. We have a long friendship. Ernestine is one of the most powerful and influential writers in the United States right now, and I feel very grateful to be working with her. I teach her work a lot. I teach one of her essays about spiders, and every time it wakes up students who don't want to be in the classroom, every time it inspires them. Most recently, I thought, you know, I really want to start working more closely with Ernestine. And so I was able to get some funding and asked Ernestine to mentor me in a project. And I, of course, knew she was a good teacher, but the things that she taught me, even in a couple months, totally changed the way that I was thinking about memoir writing, completely changed it, even after 20 years of study. And it's just very exciting. So I can see why our students follow her to the ends of the earth. And I'm very thankful that I get to read next to her tomorrow night.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, hugs. Hugs all around and tears.
I just have to say, it's a really beautiful thing when the student becomes the teacher and the mentor. And I've been able to have some of those relationships in my own life with my own students who have become some of the most tremendous, exciting actors I've ever worked with. And then I learn from them. And the same thing's happening here. And it's just, it is a tremendous testament, I think, to what we do. And then our students start teaching us.
That's excellent. It's so nice to have you here. And I love that how you all each introduced each other and didn't have, you know, I mean, I have in my notes, you know, like Ernestine Hayes, Alaska State Writer Laureate, you know, for a couple years, and, you know, Rasmussen Distinguished Artist from 2021. And I have Lily Hopes just won the Marie Darlin Prize for 2023. And we have 20 plus years of theater for Karen here in Chicago. And Emily had a book that published yesterday as well as so many other awards and everything. It's just so wonderful. But it's really about sort of the human connection, and not only the human connection that y'all have to your art, but that you're now passing down to students. And I think that's sort of the crux of it, really, is like that pleasure of not only being able to mentor each other as adults and as adult artists, but then also the next wave of artists who are coming through in all the different fields and art forms that you're working in. And that's just fantastic. So Gwyneth Jeege for that. Yeah, that's really great. So I get that this Friday is just going to be powerful. I get that. With Lily's title that she all gifted you with.
Winter Fire, Faculty Showcase.
Winter Fire. And it sounds like it will be. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to be happening on Friday. Because Evening at Egan, we know it as a lecture series. And a lot of times it's, you know, Dr. Aaron Hood's talking about the flood that happened this summer, or some other guest is coming and giving a sort of talk about a subject. But this is really an arts showcase, right? And it involves faculty and others. So give us a little bit of an overview of what we'll experience this Friday.
Yeah. So we envisioned this as time for each of us to do the thing that we do, which is very performative in nature, whether we're reading poetry or whether we're performing a self-written monologue. So we wanted to have time for each of us to do that work. And you'll see each of us kind of get up and do that. And then we wanted to save time at the end for question and answer. So it'll still be the same time that our audience is used to for Evening at Egan. So we usually say that those lectures, when we have a lecture, are roughly 40, 45 minutes followed by Q&A. This will be the same thing. So, you know, we're going to divide that time amongst ourselves to have performance time for each of us. And then we'll follow that by Q&A with our audience so that we can engage with our audience and have them ask us questions about our pieces, our process, any of those things. And we've been so excited this year about the amount of people that have come out for Evening at Egan. It's been amazing to see the crowds that have come out to engage with our audiences. And so, Juno, we want to see you come out for this last one. So this is the last Evening at Egan until next fall. So show up again. And of course, we still have snacks. We know y'all love your snacks. So come on out and do this with us.
Yeah. And it's if this is Juno Afternoon from K2, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking with four amazing people who are going to be part of the Winter Fire Faculty Showcase that's happening as part of UAS Evening at Egan. And it's this Friday at 7:30 p.m. Seven. Make sure that it's at 7. Okay. 7:30. So 7 p.m. And of course, you can always go to uas.edu and you can, search it. And Evening at Egan, or Egan Lecture. I think it's /Egan Lecture is the uas.edu/Egan Lecture. So let's talk to each of you a little bit. So Lily, what kind of thing are we going to expect from you on Friday?
In true winter fire form, there have been little embers that have been festering around, waiting to come out in the cold, to warm you up and fire you up and get you thinking about your own making. And this is an original piece that I've been working on for the past few months. Done versions of it around town. So if you got a snippet of it, good for you. And if not, you better come out because you're not going to want to miss it.
Oh, that's so great.
There may or may not be some audience participation.
Oh, that's always fun. Maybe a little scary, no but risk. Also fun. No risk audience participation. That sounds good. And I just want to mention this because I think it's just really cool that Lily just returned not too long ago from, you know, presenting at the Smithsonian in D.C. And it's just it's amazing to me the quality of folks and the amount of talent that we have in Juneau and that the fact that this work can get outside, capital O outside, you know, and reach beyond the borders of Juneau is just fantastic. And so I commend you all for the work that you do. So, Karen, I heard you mention perhaps a self-written monologue.
Yeah, it's also a piece that I have been working on and thinking about for a number of years. And I'm combining that piece, which will take about half my time, with a couple of my very favorite monologues. And we've been thinking about, you know, me, especially somebody who identifies as queer and non-binary, I'm exploring sort of that. When you think about gender as a spectrum, I'm pushing towards that, that more like feminine side when I feel that side and what that looks like to me, or when I feel, you know, I'm a mom also, and so I'm kind of pushing on that a little bit. And so I chose a couple of my favorite monologues and from pieces that I really love that are really short, and coupling it with a self-written monologue that I've wanted to do for a long time.
That's awesome. That's really great. Is this will this be the premiere of that monologue?
Yes.
Awesome. That sounds so good.
We just can't wait.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. And Ernestine, what are we going to be experiencing from you on Friday?
I have some pieces of writing that I've scrunched together into just a few hundred words. I'm at the point where I'm exploring a new voice, sort of a new voice, and trying to put it together with a more lyrical voice. Mm. And so I will be asking listeners to indulge me because I'm still working on it and trying to make the pieces transition smoothly. It's been a few years since Del Raven came out, and since then I've been working. My usual process is to work on larger threads and then at the end weave them together. And I began recently with probably between 15 to 25,000 words total of all the threads that I wanted to put together. And I've been going along and editing them. And now I would say I probably have about 700 words. So I have a lot of work to do.
That's a big calling. Yeah. I have to say I am always in awe whenever I hear you speak and read or speak, like whether because it's always from the heart. And when Lily uses the word fire, that's how I describe you all the time. I'm like, Ernestine was fire because what she said was just amazing. So I am sure people are looking forward to hearing your words on Friday and whatever you might be working on. Is this like a little sneak peek of what's next?
I hope so. Yeah. I envision when I first thought of my next book, it occurred to me that I might strive for a trilogy.
Oh,
yes.
I like that. Yeah. People love that. They love their trilogies. That's good. Okay. And Emily, what can we anticipate from you on Friday?
I am going to read a couple poems from my book that came out yesterday. So this is, thank you. This is the culmination of a 5-year project where I have been researching powerful women that have inspired me and provided moments of inspiration and comfort and wisdom. And I wrote 3 books. This is the 3rd one. And it's in the voice of Chef Alice Waters. So I'm going to read some Alice poems and probably talk a little bit about form writing because they're all in poetic form.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, that's great. And I know that you have the book here. And so might you read a little something for us?
Sure. I will read one poem in the middle. Alice is very, very particular about creating beautiful spaces. And part of that is an encouragement to love ourselves in these spaces. We deserve to have beautiful spaces. And this is a good one for community. How to light each other. I move between tables, light in my hands, framed. At each, I lift the copper lantern, light the wick. See in dozens of mirrors that leap of flame. You stand in the door. A silver candlestick gleams. I cross the room, raise the blinds on evening light, so thick, so deliciously rich, it melts our bodies. You hesitate, unwind your scarf. I know, waiters shrug behind my back, roll their eyes, they think I'm crazy. But this kind of light feeds us. What does a small camp in the woods, a crackling fire, mean to you? Step out of the trees, take off your damp coat. Sit by this copper light. You are beautiful tonight, your lined face bright. This is my gift to you.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. That's great. You know, and Ernestine was talking a little bit about the process that she goes through and how she was calling down the words. I was curious to, it was sort of my next thought was, what is the different process for you all creatively? So Emily, is it different in poetic form for you? Like, what is that process for you? Because that's beautiful poetry. We have people crying.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
We're all in tears. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I are disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll light you up, okay?
It's all good. But your process, Emily, what is that?
A preview of
Well, this book was a little bit different because it was a research book. So I spent 3 years researching Alice and reading all of her books and all the books about her. And just what I really am doing, I hate the word research. Actually, my students and I joke about it because we don't like this word. What I'm really doing is treasure hunting. I'm culling through and looking for these intense moments of her wisdom, her life, her images. She talks a lot about copper lamps, you know, pulling these things. And then drafting the poem. And part of it for me was trying to find the form that would give me access to her voice. So the form poems were really important because they shape the way that voice. Like, this is a terza rima, which I'd never written before. So I had to do a bunch of research on what those look like and try to figure out if I could do it. So it was a lot of different pieces coming together. But then, like Ernestine, I mean, this poem, I think, went through like 17 or 18 drafts. It's a lot of drafts.
It's a draft and draft and draft. And that's something I think about art that people don't necessarily get is that it takes repetition and it takes revising, right? That once you learn how to revise, I mean, I know I have a theater background. Karen does as well. And rehearsal, that is why we rehearse, is because you must keep – you're trying to get that first moment again in rehearsal. And I'm imagining it's the same way with words. So I know Ernestine shared a little bit about her process. Is there something for you, Karen, that in terms of how you work?
Yeah. So I teach about embodiment and embodied work in theater. So I have to get up and move. I do a lot of when I'm rehearsing or when I'm working on, especially this new piece, I've been doing a lot of trying to kind of get into my body and with words, trying to figure out if the words kind of feel right. If the cadence feels right, I have to put that. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I have to put things into my body.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is movement work for me and kind of grounding work and movement work and that's how I know if it's right. And I do some kind of rhythmic work and cadence work and things like that as I'm writing. Some of it is just lather and rinse and repeat and saying it again and crossing it out and not being afraid to cut it and redo it and slash it and write it again. I also like to write things out, handwrite some things and not just write on a computer. That's part of my process. I like to crumple things up. I like to, you know, make a mess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make a bit of a mess.
And Lily, with weaving, it seems like when you make mistakes, you have to go back, or do you improvise?
Oh, there have been scissors in my past. Yes. And it's very difficult to cut out a Raven's Tail or Chilcat weaving because it's finger twined like a basket. It is much easier to scratch out a line of whatever I'm crafting and tear it up or rip it off or, you know, feel the perforation as you rip, the satisfaction of like, this is terrible. So that's really refreshing. But I find my work, that meditation that happens in the weaving of, that is also how my words or theatrical things come to me in long walks in the hemlock trees on the beach. Sometimes there are children screaming and throwing rocks, not at me, but with me. So we're throwing rocks and we're finding those moments of joy and being an artist in so many parts of ourselves, of lighting a candle, of cooking dinner, of how do we plate this? Do we put a slice of orange, even though we're not a restaurant? Do we have a little sprig of parsley? And how much beauty can we bring into our lives, not just through words and weavings and theatrical performance, but in the everyday? Yeah.
Wow. I could spend an hour or more with each of you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. And it is such a great, like, this is a great preview, the Winter Fire Faculty Showcase.
7 p.m. UAS Egan Library, Winter Fire Faculty Showcase.
There it is.
It's so great. And I really want to say Gunath Cheese for being here today and sharing with us and giving us a little bit of preview. Your students are really the lucky ones. And we're all lucky for being able to have you in our community. And thank you for sharing. And everyone, turn up Friday night. UAS Egan Lecture Series. It's the Winter Fire Faculty Showcase. I want to thank Emily Wall, Ernestine Hayes, Lily Hope, and Dean Karen Salkaitis. Thank you all for being here. Gunath Cheese.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Gunath Cheese.
That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's Culture-Rich Conversations, the topic is Afro-Mermaids, Healing Our Relationship with Water. Christina Michelle and her guests explore the transformative power of African spirituality, wellness, and unity in the captivating world of Afro-Mermaids. That's 3 p.m. tomorrow here on KTOO and KAUK. Also available via podcast at kto.org/podcasts. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening.